episode 300, a very special episode.
You know what's amazing? I ask that question a lot to shop owners. Do they have any regrets? And now the tide's being turned here. And I thought about that, you know, because here I am a guy, I'm a question guy. I'm an interviewer. And I've often said, that's a pretty tough question. I would never want that asked of me.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results.
Hey, welcome aftermarketers throughout North America and around the world. Carm Capriotto here, and welcome to the 300th episode. Now prepare for a very different interview, one like you've never heard before on Remarkable Results Radio. Now hold that thought. You know, the podcast has become an important part of the fabric of the aftermarket, and I'm so appreciative to Federal Mogul Motor Parts for their support of the podcast. They are the reason you enjoy the premier aftermarket content library. Search for parts and get the latest technical updates. Also, sign up for their Garage Rewards loyalty program, and who doesn't like rewards, at fmmotorparts.com. Find links to my guests' previous episodes at the show notes page for this episode, remarkableresults.biz/E300. As the march toward the 300th episode closed in, I started to realize that this was a huge and monumental achievement. I've been so overwhelmed by the 100th and then the 200th, and now the 300th. Whoa! None of this, trust me, could have happened if you weren't listening, learning, and providing me your direction. And the bindings of these audiobooks are the many guests who trusted me to get their story told, so that all ships rise. I talk a lot about a rising tide lifts all ships. Now, that is slightly modified from the original quote, but that is the essence of what we do here. I found a quote from Booker T. Washington. If you want to lift yourself up, lift someone else. I've always felt that when you teach, you learn. And for so many of our 300 interviews, they've sent the elevator down to share their journey. So I pondered, what should the 300th episode be like? I had planned to have a group of former guests I affectionately call alumni on to talk about their favorite episodes and their memories from our original interview. Well, it turned out the alumni wanted to interview me. Now, that wasn't my first thought, but they warmed me up to the idea. They were very, very persuasive. So what you're going to enjoy is a role reverse. I wasn't sure how it was going to play out. The interviewer, the person who brings the voices of the aftermarket to the masses, was going to have a voice, share some behind-the-scenes moments, and tell the story of the startup and to where we are today and maybe a glimpse into the future. You're going to find this to be the longest episode I've ever created. No doubt you may have to listen over a few chunks of time, but as I worked hard on the edit, I feel that what you're going to hear is the best and most transparent moments for the history books. My guests, my friends, really helped me tell the story. It was so tough to pick just 7 alumni to join in. And for sure it was a celebration. We all had a special libation to toast to the friendships and moments that I know has changed lives. Albert Einstein said, "Strive not to be a success, but rather to be of value." Well, that sums it up for me. Now listen to a special moment in time, the 300th episode with Bill Nalu from Interstate Auto Care, Greg Buckley from Buckley's Personalized Driver Care, Kim Arenheimer from CS Automotive, Peter Rudloff from Pete's Garage, Matt Fonslow from Riverside Automotive, Dwayne Myers from Dynamic Auto, and Judy Walter Zimmerman from Zimmerman's Automotive. I thank you from my heart for your continued support, and that my one wish will always hold true for you. Listen to learn just one thing, and then go implement it. And I've got a select group of podcast alumni who said, sure, we'd love to come hang out, drink some wine with you, Carm, and I guess interview us again. And so I'm really kind of happy that you're all going to let me interview you again. So,
no way you're going to interview us, Carm.
No, Carm.
What? What is this?
Not happening.
Wait a minute.
All wait about a, you, dude.
Did I get voted off the island here or what?
Yes, indeed.
This is a major role reverse for me. I
surprise.
Are you kidding
surprise,
me?
Surprise.
So for everyone who's listening to the audio version of this, what I just saw here in the virtual studio is my 7 guests all hung, you know, put up a poster that says, "We want to interview you." So whose idea was that? No, whose idea?
Not telling.
I know. No one wants to go online. I know, because
if we, Karm, if we do our job properly, you're going to be more read in this thing than I am.
Yeah, I know. God, Bill, I can't believe you really look red. Can't believe it. You better get back to the doctor and tell him he prescribed that shaving cream all wrong to you. Maybe it wasn't supposed to go on your face, Bill.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Shouldn't be bringing Scotch-Brite pads home.
That's right. That's right.
And I have my glass of wine here, and I think almost everyone else does. I mean, it's really a celebration. And, wow, and Kim, you just came back from Mexico, so you're just continuing the fun. So, yeah, we shall drink to the 300th episode. And so thanks for being here. So I guess you guys want to ask me questions. Who wants to go first?
I'll take the lead on this one, Carm.
Right.
You know, did you ever think you'd get to the 300th? God, man, it was just like 2-3 years ago or something like that. 300.
Well, if you think about it, if there's two a week, you do the math. It's right around 1 year, right?
Never and my strong suit to do math, Carm.
That's
so
okay. That's okay.
Apologize.
No, that's fine, Greg. And you're so damn successful. You must have a good accountant.
Yeah.
So here's what happened. When 100th hit, I was really moved by it, and I looked back at the alumni, and a few of you that are here were in that first 100. And then when 200 hit, I said, my God, the stride is incredible. And it's almost like it couldn't stop. Sponsors came back on. You know, I'm committed for a year for that. And here we are at 300, going to break 301 next week. I see no signs of stopping because the stories need to be told. The content is alive and it's there. And so, yeah, Greg, I thought I'd see the 300, and I know we're going to see the 400th.
I think we should all be playing that song in the year 25.
All right, now.
Okay, Greg, thank you.
Greg, stick to drive safe. Dr.
I know, right, exactly.
Can we mute him?
Yes.
No, really, seriously. I was out last night, and they were playing this song that in the year 2525. You know, I said, yeah, Everybody knows that one. And I just thought, wow, man, Carm, you've come such a long way. And I said, you know, moving forward, you know, how many years, decades, you know, your path. It's awesome. It's just really awesome.
Thanks for that. By the way, Zager and Evans were the artists for that song.
Zager and Evans. There you go.
God, it's amazing. I can't remember what I had for dinner.
All right.
All right, you guys.
All right, Carm, I want to know something. You were in the corporate world. You know, you had a nice regular paycheck. You know, you had a regular routine, and you jumped out of comfort. Do you have any regrets for this huge move? Is there anything you do differently now that you're 300 in?
You know what's amazing? I ask that question a lot to shop owners. Do they have any regrets? And now the tide's being turned here. And I thought about that, you know, because here I am, a guy. I'm a question guy. I'm an interviewer, and I've often said that's a pretty tough question. I would never want that asked of me. So here we are. You're asking the regret question. And I don't have any. I don't have any for leaving corporate America by taking a shot with this 6 months after I was wondering what I was going to do next. And I was busy doing things. And, you know, my energy, you know, I'd get up the same time every day and quit the same time every day trying to formulate where I was going. And I'm a tweaker, guys. I'm a tweaker. If you go listen to episode one, or if you go listen to Dwayne in episode two... Wow, Wayne, long time ago. Thank you so much for being there in episode two. You'll see an amazing progression of change. And so because I didn't do the same thing, and I look back and I'd say, yeah, I regret that I didn't change or fix or tweak or move or, you know, enhance and build. So I don't have any regrets because, you know, last month's shows will be different than next month's shows because... You know, I'm always in a learning mode. I'm always looking for great new questions to ask, listening and keeping up with the trends and stuff. So, good question. Thanks.
Chief Redface here. So I've got one for you. So how has the Remarkable Results podcast affected your view of the aftermarket automotive industry personally?
I've really embraced as a person and found great strength and opportunity in the people that are in the industry. I've, you know, when I started and I interviewed Dwayne and his partners back in episode 2, 2, 3, and 4. Did you ever hear the story about why Dwayne's episode was in three parts? Well, I sat down and we did an hour long interview. Great, great story of struggle, survival, and partnership. It's a great, great story. And when I was going to podcast coaching school and I was learning from these people, and they said, God, you can't have a podcast that lasts more than 20 minutes. So I carved it up and I put it out in three parts. And it wasn't too long after that, I guess I'm telling a side story here, that I was getting letters and comments and stuff from the listeners. And they said, can you go deeper? Can you go longer? We want to know more. Stop cutting them up, you know. And so I said, fine. And so they were half hour, 40 minutes. I don't even look at the clock when I'm done with an interview. And sometimes they're 60 minutes. And then I say, oh, I got to cut it down. And I go back and I sit down with my editor, who's my daughter. And I said, Tracy, this may be a little too long. She goes, Dad, just like you agreed, everything's got to stay. It's good. It's good from beginning and it's good to end. If some people listen to the episode from the beginning and they stay completely with it, they'll get almost a comprehensive picture of the story of the person that I'm interviewing, and that there's a thread there. There's something to learn almost in every chunk or every 10-minute section as the individual tells their story. I see strength and opportunity amongst the industry, like I, you know, and I was close, but never as close as I am today. And that's what I see is phenomenal out there. The strength of the people that are leading this industry and the opportunity that exists for the people to learn and grow in it. Yeah. Good question. Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, Carm, this is Judy.
Hey, what Judy.
You talked about corporate America. What actually were you doing? What was your history in business, and why did you change?
Wow. You know, I rarely tell this story to anybody. I was in the distribution business my whole life, family business. The original place is still there, probably 66 years. It's now owned by a very big conglomerate. Hell, when I went to got off the bus from school, Dad would call and say, what are you doing? And I says, we're going to go down and have a pickup ball game down at the elementary school. He says, nope, you're coming down to the store. And you're sweeping, you're picking, you're pulling, you're doing something. And so I was a block away from the business. You all can appreciate and relate to family businesses. And that's what we were. We were in the distribution business. And then I really tightened the story up. Sold it in 1998. Dad had some medical problems. A warehouse distributor wanted to buy the operation and have me go to work for them. So I did. Spent 5 years with this very big family business in the distribution business that was sold to a public company. And then I worked there for 10 years and had an opportunity to do something different. And I really said to myself, I don't know what that is. And then podcasting happened. And you all may ask me a different question later as to maybe how that first one happened. And I'll wait. Just ask me that later, okay? But Judy, in a very quick nutshell, yes, I was in corporate America. I flew around. I spent time in shops all over the country, all over from Seattle to Florida.
Carm, you know I'm a big build things kind of guy. So when I look at what you did with the Remarkable Results, I got to know, what was the time frame of where you had the idea of let's do Remarkable Results, and you know, the time that you put into before you hit to episode one? And what was that like? Like, what was that process like?
Well, I guess that's the question I was asking for. That's the next question. How perfect, Peter. You were reading my mind. I left corporate America August of 2014, and I wanted to be a voiceover artist. So I went to a boot camp in New York City, built a studio, which I am sitting in right now, and I started to do 10 to 12 auditions a day. And wow. you had to learn how to act, and I had a website, and I had a demo tape, and I was going to be I was going to listen to myself on TV and radio, and I was going to do all these great commercials and voiceovers for the medical industry, and I was going to do audio books and stuff, and I realized after about a month of doing 10 to 12 auditions a day, and nothing came in but one gig that I got, I sat in my little studio here, and I said, I'm not doing any more of these. So I got this really cool microphone right here. I got this really beautiful sound conditioned little studio. What am I going to do now? So I knew a little bit about podcasting, and then I started to figure a little bit more about it. But I also said, you know, okay, cool idea, but how do I make it work? So instead of trying to call all the people that I knew really well locally, I started to make some phone calls out of state. And I said, you know, to Dave Striegel. And I said, I was to your place once. He was in Pittsburgh. I'm in Buffalo. And I reintroduced myself. I just called cold. And I said, Dave, I got this great idea. Would you share? You know, he became a business coach. He built a training center. And he's doing so many cool things, doing tons of video for Motor Age. And I said, I love what you're doing. Can we tell the story to the world? Are you interested? And he didn't hesitate. He said, yes. And I go, oh, yes, I have my first interview, you know. So I didn't hesitate. I said, would you do it tomorrow? I can't remember. I just wanted to lock it down. You know how that works.
Sure.
So I did the interview with him. And, you know, it was probably 20, 25 minutes, episode number one. And I loved it. But in episode number one was the impetus for the second podcast that I do, you know, I do two a week. Dave set me off on actually doing two a week. And he told me the story of him going to the Napa conference that it was 2015, was the summer of 2015. And he was invited to get up on the stage and do some breakout seminars. And he told me his seminar topic. And so we're done with the interview. And then I called Dwayne, and Dwayne said yes. And he assembled his team, and then Clint Dudley, and I'm reading the magazines, and I'm looking at people, and I'm picking up the phone saying, you don't know me from anybody, but I have this wild idea and this concept, Pete, and people never said no. Maybe I was convincing enough, or I found the right people that wanted to give and wanted to share, and maybe saw a little glimmer of my dream and where I thought this thing could go. And I'll tell you the story about the second podcast. So I'm thinking and, you know, listening to Dave's, how many episodes did I have to re-listen to? I had a few, so I kept listening to him, see how I could get better. And Dave says, wow, he's coming back from Napa. So I called Dave back. And I said, when you come back from the Napa conference, would you come back and tell me what it was like being on the big stage, what it was like in the seminar room? Tell me about what the people were, you know, the service professionals were saying about the message you were delivering. Would you do that? And he goes, sure. So we do that interview, and I say, where does this fit? This isn't a service professional, you know, my successful journey story. This is his perspective. And I said, wow, well, we need to start a second interview. And we need to start interviewing association executives and coaches and trainers and stuff. And so I made that commitment to always have a service professional and a non-service professional, but an industry, if you will, I call them thought leaders. And that's how the second one was born. So that's
amazing.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it, Pete. Thank you.
Okay, I'm over here with red face, and it's not sunburn from Mexico. I think Bill and I have the same lighting here, so sorry about that. But I love that every time we listen to one of your episodes, I have that aha moment where something just clicks. Have you had that aha moment, number one? And of course, I got to ask multiple questions. Number two, how did it change you as a person? And then how did it change your view in the industry?
Yes, I had this very interesting aha moment. And you know, Kim, I had to really think a lot about that. And I guess I'm going to break the code for everybody. We've all worked on these questions together and we've all shared them. But the questions that everyone is asking are the questions that they wanted to know. And so if it sounds like this is all staged, it's not. But we all had a chance to prepare. And that's one of the secrets of the podcast, and I'll share with you that later. But the aha moment that I had, I went to a podcast convention in Chicago, and it was 2 years ago. And when I walked out of that convention, I was convinced I was doing the right thing in my life. Here's the storyline. Podcasting is storytelling. And that was my aha moment. I knew I was doing it, but I never said it. I felt it, but I didn't know what it meant. I didn't have the word that connected what I was doing, Kim. And when I came back and I was telling the world, I'm a storyteller. I don't tell the stories. I get people to tell their stories. So how do I do that? So then I started to read and study, read books and articles and on how to interview, how to be a better listener, and how to be a better interviewer. And I realized that since I'm in a niche market, I had to study harder what this industry was and the trends and the questions. And I had to listen. I had to get on webinars. I had to talk to you. And I had to learn from each and every interview, where are we going with this and how are we getting there? So that was my aha moment was, I'm a storyteller through your voice, by getting you to tell the right story. And I have a crazy method on how to do that. I think you may all ask me that later, and I'll share that with you. I'm not sure I should be telling all these great secrets here.
All right. Too late now.
What was your second part? You had a two-parter, didn't you?
The second part was, how did it change you as a person and then change your view of the industry?
It did. The view of the industry was, I guess I never knew that there were that many people like you that were willing to pay it forward.
Great. Thank you.
I'm talking to Bud Houston, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Hey, Bud, what's the best thing about the Guru on the Go van?
Yeah, I think that the best thing about the van and the kind of the mission is it's twofold. One is ultimately to bring brand awareness of the Federal Mogul portfolio. But I think the way that we do that is we bring value to the technician, the shop owner. And how we do that is we bring technical content, we bring some updated material, and once they see that I care about their operation, their reputation, and their qualifications, one, they're built up, but two, they really, at that point, listen to what I have to say about the brands, and it's built, the relationship is built on a mutual benefit.
So you bring technical stuff, and you bring product-specific.
Yeah, me personally, I'm super technical, technical background. So anytime I'm doing a lunch and learn or a van visit, training session, it's typically 90% technical, 10% product.
Any new Moog products that are getting good reviews?
Yeah, one that's recently released is the Dodge Ram 25 and 3500 complete steering assembly. It's inner and outer tie rod ends and drag link pre-assembled. This is the first aftermarket part that's available in a complete assembly for this application. And then the specific applications, late model Dodge Rams, are actually a kind of a high failure part on the chassis parts.
What about the compression-loaded ball joints with pre-installed integral dust boot?
Yeah, the integral dust boot has been a huge hit. Initially, the idea was, well, where is the boot? And then once you kind of get around and show people, they're like, well, that is the best idea I've ever seen, because I've torn so many boots on installation, or I've had a boot that's not seated properly. And they're like, well, that's just not an issue now. And they love it.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On site, online, or on demand, the Gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit fmgarageguru.com. Matthew.
Yes, sir. I guess the intriguing thing with the interviews to me is that you have a very genuine interest in what your interviewee has to say. And it goes more than just the personal stuff and the business side of things, but the technical. You're very, very engaged in what your interviewee has to say. And it seems like that has only grown since episode one. Do you have any idea why you might be that way, that so curious, and especially about this trade?
Well, you just said it. And my answer was, I'm curious. I want to know how things work. I wasn't never a person to tinker and take things apart like some of my guests have said. Yeah, I took the toaster and I took anything I could take it apart and learned how to put it back together. I'm mechanical, but I don't I don't try to take a computer apart and try to remember where the screws went back to put it back together. But I'm curious. I'm curious about life. I'm curious about how things work. I'm accused of being a very heavy and deep process systems person. And every once in a while, I have to pull myself back when someone says, well, this is how it works. And then I said, can you tell me how tab A and how tab A? And I have to pull myself back. I said, my listener doesn't want to hear about that. I do. My listener doesn't. So my curiosity always gets in there. I love ideas. One of my five strengths of Clifton Strengths Finders is ideation. And, you know, I bubble with ideas. And the place you get ideas is you're curious. And I'm a perpetual student. It's when I used to do a lot of corporate training, I used to talk about being a perpetual student, constantly learning. And I come up with this cool quote, and I can't remember, it was back in the 70s. And I always used to put this quote up almost either at the beginning or the end of the seminars that I did. And here's the quote: if you aren't sitting on the edge of your seat, then you're taking up too much room.
I like it.
Just think about that for a moment. And that kind of describes who I am.
I think we just had an aha moment there.
All right, me back again here. I still, you know, I look at this and I think, how did you ever recover after our first episode, 39?
I didn't.
How did you ever, the fact that you made it to episode 40, I'm like, there's no stopping him now.
I had no idea what I was getting into, none. I met him in Detroit, and that was a fateful day. I chased him for an interview. What was I thinking?
Oh, it's like, I still think about that. We talked about this before. It's like a friend of yours back from elementary school, and you know the second that you guys met on the playground, and that was Cobo Hall that year.
Yeah.
So I'll forever be grateful for that. So if there was a magic genie named Bill, red face, and has one wish to grant you, what would the wish be on behalf of this industry that we love and respect? And it could be something tactical. It could be an idea. It could be anything that comes to mind.
I'm going to steal someone's phrase. My friend Bob Greenwood. You know what he says, right? We need to be a profession. We're no longer a trade. There's nothing else to say, guys. I mean, that's it. And I see so many people working hard toward that. And I think I'm doing my part, to tell you the truth, with the content library, the town hall academies, the lessons are out there for people to learn that we're in a profession. And I think it goes deeper. I think it goes into schools. And I think it goes to places that we don't quite understand. We want to lift our own image of our industry up. But I think we need to let at least secondary, high school, and people's impression of Grease Monkey Mechanic, that we're a very serious profession. It's not more evident than with the technology that's on the car today. And man, I can't pick up the local Buffalo newspaper every other couple of days has an article about technology or the autonomous car. And so people are reading it. They're learning about it. GM is doing this, and Volvo is doing this, and BMW is doing that, and we need to capitalize on that. And I think the message that we are, as an industry, as leaders in this industry, the message that we're putting out there needs to be listened to, absorbed, and bought into. And if that starts to happen, Bill, I think, you know, as I say, all ships rise. It's not my phrase, but it really describes what it is that we're doing here.
Amen.
Well, Carm, I tell you, one of the things that I always found interesting is, you know, how does something get started? And that goes down to the human level. You know, I talk about what's the genesis, and I ask you, you know, what do you think was your biggest life influence or influencer that kind of, even before you started down your path and your journey here, both personally and professionally, what was that one moment where you said, I am who I am, I am what I am, and this is what I'm going to do, and this is who Carm Capriotto is? You know, whether you are talking about our profession or whether you were in the corporate world, there's something that makes a person that creates the dynamic of what their life is going to be. And I always want to try and search for that one moment. And if you could describe that, I think it would, I don't know. I'm curious. That's what my question was. So
when I read that question from you, I said, damn, there's Buckley just stripping me down to the basics.
Exactly.
Here's my bones.
It's what it's all about, man. It really is.
Well, you're right. And I really had a tough time with that because I really can't. I can look at so many different moments, learning curves of my own, situations that I was in, that you have those personal aha moments, you store them somewhere and you build on them and you take them and you do things with them. But when I really thought long and hard about that, I loved to listen to Stephen Covey. I fell in love with Seven Habits. I listened to the book ad nauseum in the car. I couldn't stop listening to Zig Ziglar. I mean, not only was he a good salesman, he taught you so many other wonderful things about life. John Maxwell, when I read his first book, Developing the Leader Within You, there isn't anything. My closets are full of Maxwell DVDs, tapes, and books. And I love to listen to John and the way he speaks. Dave Ramsey was another kind of influential writer. And when I, you know, who I am became a combination of what I was learning and developing. And it's about their message. It's about impacting and motivating myself to always be looking to tweak and change. And that's just who I am. I'll be somebody different in a year. We'll attack what we do differently. I'm never, ever satisfied. Maybe that's...
Well, what was, before all of that, though, what was and who could have been an influencer to make you that curious individual?
There's one person in the entire world that was really a very powerful influence on me. It was my grandfather. We hung out. Dad was growing the business. Grandpa helped, but you know, we were the item. I learned to drive tractors and bulldozers and do so many things when I was a very young person. And I hung out. He taught me integrity. He taught me honesty. He taught me hard work. And that's who and what I am today. So it was Grandpa John.
Great. Okay. Well, so Grandpa John... We want to congratulate Grandpa John on our 300th as well, because that makes Carm Cabriato who he is today. So thank you. That was great. Now, see, that's why.
Thanks for digging deep, Greg.
I got to, man. You know me.
Yeah, that's right. I do that for you sometimes, don't I?
That's right. You do. Absolutely. And it's a healthy exercise. That's
Carm, I got a confession for you, man.
What is it, man?
You know that I was not going to do episode 123 with you?
No, I did not. Because you knew it was going to be 1, 2, 3.
No, I tried to avoid you originally. And because I didn't have an interest in doing it, I thought the podcasting idea was silly, right? This is the small-mindedness of me, right? So long story short, ASA approached me and said, you need to sit down with Carm Capriato and Donnie Cypher to do an episode for ASA. And I said, all right, well, I'll get through that, but then I won't commit to anything beyond that. I'll do what I got to do for ASA and want to move on. And we did an episode on the OE Repair Info, the ScanTool website, and I got the opportunity to interact with you. And I was completely blown away by your thoughtfulness, your listening, the way you're able to dig down and pull stuff out of me that I didn't even know I had inside of me to offer. I know I'm going a little off script there, but how do you dig into people like me who you don't know? How do you get inside of us and pull that out? Because that's really your gift, right? Is pulling that out of us.
I think it is, and I never realized it, Peter. You know, I had to learn to become a really good listener, guys. And let me just share this with the world. I wasn't always a good listener, and you know. Get your pride out of the way. You don't always have to be the top dog, you know, at any party, at any situation, in any meeting. And, you know, in the early days, I was a different person than I am today. But it took me, you know, learning, valuing, and analyzing what works, what doesn't. But I had to become a good listener. But Peter, and every one of you, and maybe more intently today than it was in the early days when you were all on, I really spend you know, hours on every guest. I study their website. I read everything I can find on LinkedIn. We have a pre-call, and I dig. There's going to be an episode coming up, and I And I got on a 15-minute icebreaker call with this potential guest. I wasn't quite sure. And this was just yesterday. And it went to an hour. And at the end of the hour, I found the storyline. It took me that long. Not that I was willing to give up in 20 minutes, but the person kept digging deeper on his very own. And the stories became more interesting. And at the very end, I said, would you be willing to share that, what you just told me? It took that long to get told about total despair, losing house, losing business. And I said, the listener of the podcast needs to hear this. There's a lot of people that are in the same position. This may prevent some, and it may encourage some on how to get around it. That was an hour. We'll invest an hour, we'll invest 2 hours, another hour in the editing, and 2 or 3 hours in the production of it. So I got about 8 hours into every one of these. I end up knowing that person, and then I have to bring my level of curiosity, Peter, to play, and I have to remember my listener. I have to remember, what is my mission? What am I doing for the aftermarket? And if somebody's willing to give it, I'm willing to take it.
Well, I can tell you for sure, I'm a very private person, Carm, and you were able to extract stuff out of me that stuff I typically would not share, but I was happy to share in the setting with you, and it was very positive in that regard.
We had a great interview, and thank you for your confidence in me and for continuing to give on the Academy. You're a smart guy, and actually, Peter, I just love the way you deliver your wisdom and your thoughts. It's you're pointed, yet you're open to all sides, and you've got a good talent to do that.
Thanks, Carm.
I as well was one of those that was very reluctant, to the point of just being physically sick before being recorded. So I appreciate the comfort level that you give us, because after we got done, it was like, okay, that wasn't so bad. We can do this. But I know every guest and every topic that you cover is different, and it might appeal to one or the other. But was there that one topic that you were apprehensive, that you weren't sure you should, you could, whatever, that you should actually cover? And what was that?
And every time I hear that question, I know exactly the answer to it. As so many of my interviews go, they're recommended through a networking. You know, hey, Peter, someone, yeah, and Peter would give me some names, and Bill and Greg, and everybody has contributed. Kim, you've done so well in saying, hey, these are people, they're perfect, their story needs to be told. Well, one of my guests, Leon Anderson, episode, I think, 278. I apologize if I don't have it right. Leon, 270.
Yeah. Great guy. He's in my ATI 20 group. Great guy.
Well, I do my pre-call. I do all the studying that I possibly can. Find out what the service information is about Leon, and we get on the phone. And I say, Leon, we're going to do our pre-call. If you and I both agree that this is the right thing to do, then we're going to set up a call. We're going to set up our virtual studio. And Leon told me a story, Peter, almost like in the frame of what you were saying. He told me things at that current moment in time. I had no idea that Leon Anderson had gone through these challenges in his life. And I hardly could say anything. Mm-hmm. And near the end, I said to Leon, would you tell that story to the podcast listener? And he said, I will. Yes. My challenge, Kim, was to get Leon to talk about that without me and my listener thinking I was patronizing. I was trying to get him to say it. And Leon just went there on his own. I didn't have to do anything but create the right environment, comfortable, relaxing, that we could edit out anything if he was uncomfortable with it. Leon, don't worry. You know, this is your baby. It's your gig. Let's have fun. So we dove into his business and his challenges, and then he told the story. And even when I heard it for the second time, it was so hard to hear. I'm not going to talk about it now, but you got to listen to it.
Yeah. And Carm, you said comfortable. I think it's more about safety. I think those who share Pete's is one of my favorite episodes. 123 was one of those that sort of, I thought to myself, this has got to be a daily thing. I was driving back and forth and so it was on and off, a hit and miss kind of thing. And then some of the stuff that you guys will say are so freaking inspiring, you know, and you just can't help but be, make this a daily routine in your life.
So Jerry Holcomb, President ASA Midwest, I was chasing Jerry Holcomb for 6 months. And you know what? I'm a patient guy. I got to interview Jerry Holcomb. And it didn't matter how long it was going to take. Finally, an email comes in. It's from Jerry Holcomb. And Jerry Holcomb says, hey, I'm not blowing you off, Carm. I'm going through a bunch of things, and I'm not necessarily prepared to do an interview with you. I just want to let you know that. Well, look, pending the day that we're going to do this interview, let's have our pre-call right now. Tell me about you. And he did. And this is before I went to Vision for the first time. And we're chatting and talking. And he says, you know, one of the reasons, Carm, is I got prostate cancer. And I got Parkinson's. And I'm thinking here, oh, my God, what else can go wrong for Jerry? And Jerry starts telling the story of how his team rallied behind him. And he was so funny. He goes, you know, when, you know, my left hand is shaking and I, you know, hold a mouse in the right hand. He's really telling a funny story about what has afflicted him. And the episode's really all about how a team, you know, helped Jerry pull himself up and through all these issues. He still has, you know, his Parkinson's, but what a great story. And I made it comfortable. I guess I made it safe, Bill, for Jerry to come on. And I said to Jerry, too, Kim, I said, would you be willing to tell that story? Because it was from the heart. It brought that whole realism, you know, well, he's successful because he's a natural leader. Golly. So further from all of us, from the truth, we learned to do this stuff. We how much money did it cost us to make this crazy decisions to get to the success level we're at today? Wish you could have that $100,000 back of mistakes that you've made over all these years. Am I right, gang?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Jerry was another one of those, you know, moments that I had to ask him, you willing to tell your story? And he did. And it's really a heartwarming story.
You kind of touched upon it already, maybe scratched the surface a little, mentioned, I think we're starting to answer it a little bit with Peter's last question. So if you don't mind, this will be a little kind of a two-parter, I think. One is, do you have a goal in mind for what you want your listeners to take away from your podcast or your interviews? And then the second part, just a slight evolution, is how has that goal evolved from the first episode through the 300th?
I guess I coined Listen to Learn Just One Thing almost from very early on. And if that was a goal, that's it. When I set down and do the interview, I'm searching for the one thing when I'm doing the interview. And sometimes I count 30. Sometimes I count 10. But there's a ton of stuff in every interview. So my goal would be is that we're doing some knowledge transfer, and I strive to make that. I mean, I don't think in the early days it was really working as well as I think it is working today, and that it will even get better in the future. You know, I guess a goal is to teach people never to stop learning. And I think that never stop learning and listen to learn one thing is really important. But I also think that part of the message and the goal that I would like for the industry is to find your level of accountability. And I don't care if it's with a mentor, if it's with a coach, if it's with a business partner. Find an accountability partner, because I think it's the holy grail of success. I really do. I'm telling you, it is. I have a coach. And when I know I'm going to launch something, which I'm going to launch really soon, he said, so when and who and how? And so when you have to make that commitment, and you all know this because I think most of you have had coaches, and you got to write something down. Damn, I said I was going to do this. You own it. So I don't know if I hit that right for you, Matt, but that would be a goal of mine.
What have you found that was actually easier? I mean, because what you do is very difficult. Not many people can just make people feel at ease. What have you found to be surprisingly easy?
Thanks for that one, Kim. I talk about this a lot, and I'm really surprised you had that question written down. I love being behind the mic. That's what's easy for me.
But you got the good lighting, that's for sure.
But being behind the mic, it's not easy because you can't sit down and do it, and it feels comfortable and natural unless you've studied. Yeah, I probably could sit down unannounced with somebody and start digging. But I, in order to get someone to feel at ease in the first 5 minutes, you've got to drill into their passion. And I have to discover what that is first. And that was also a big learning curve in probably the first 80 episodes, is when I started to get, when the passion question was first, the comfort level was there, the engagement was there, I'm leaning in, he or she is leaning in, and it starts to develop, you know, some magic. And so that that was it. I studied the skills, as I said earlier, and I'm all in. I mean, this is it. This is me. And so it's when you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. I guess that's the quote, right?
And I really honestly, who you are behind the mic is, because I have had the honor of meeting in person, is who you are in real life. And that to me was a big surprise and an absolute pleasure. So thanks for being you.
Great compliment. Thank you.
Get him with coffee. Then
oh, trust me. Trust me. 5:30 every morning. 5:30 every morning. And I can't do a podcast without coffee, by the way.
What's on the other hand?
Ain't that cool?
But you've got one in each hand, though.
Yeah, I do. I happen to have
Hey, Kim, a couple of gin and tonics, though, and he starts waving his remarkable ring, Godfather ring at you.
Yeah, this is amazing. So I have my two absolute wildest passions here, my coffee, my French roast, and my Mondavi Reserve Cabernet.
Nice.
Nice stuff.
I just went there, by the way, this past September. I was at Mondavi. So thank you, Kim.
Well, Carm, just make a little bit of switch. You were in the corporate world, and now you're doing your podcast. But I'm sure there's one thing as a business owner myself, I find that I go through phases where I wake up at 2 a.m, not always worrying, sometimes just thinking of a certain thing. What wakes you up at 2 a.m?
This show woke me up at 2:00 a.m. today.
Okay.
With all that I had going on, this was just one additional, you know, fun layer of the cake. But you know what I wake up a lot about is, did I follow through and follow up with the link to the virtual studio with my guest? Did I remind them the day before that we're having this interview? And I guess it's because I'm a solopreneur and I'm doing all of this myself. You not only this, you may look at this is the fun part, you know, really bring the content in, really do the interview, but I'm trying to think of the analogy of how much work goes into making something look so easy. And so there's a lot of things to worry about. And at 2:00 a.m, I worry about the minutiae, the little tiny things. They wake me up at night. And so I don't know what you all do, but I get up. I'm not going to lay in bed, eyes wide open. You know, I need to write it down, or I need to speak into a recorder. These flowing, crazy ideas that come up all the time. So I get up, and I'm a guy who, if I turn the TV on, I could get back to sleep. It's noise. And it's like almost I need noise.
I would have wagered it was the technician's roundtable. Yeah, I mean, I would have had a lot of money on that.
Pretty close, though.
Yeah, Carm, I'm confused though. So I thought you had like an army of people that were helping you send out the emails, and I thought that all just happened behind the scenes where you just had to show up.
It and sure did.
That's my question later. That's my question. Hold off.
Little elves.
Don't steal her question, Peter.
Sorry, didn't mean to.
Good question, Judy. In the early days, I asked that question a lot, but I haven't of late of my guests. But thank you.
So, Carm, Michelle and I, you know, we start binge watching all the movies that are going to be up for the Oscars, and one of the favorite things that we like to watch is after the you watch the movie, you see the behind the scenes stuff, right? The bloopers and so forth. So, what is a blooper or a behind-the-scenes moment that you could sort of share with us?
Very affectionately. I met Giuliano Zuccato in Las Vegas 2 years ago, and I heard his story, and I went up to him, and I said, Mr. Zuccato, Mr. Capriotto. And I said to him, I said, I'd love you to sign your press picture. And he did. And then I took out my card and I gave it to him. And I said, I'd love to interview you. I'm a podcaster. And Giuliano, 84 years old at the time, said, collectively, we get all, what's a podcast, right? And so yeah. I said, well, it's kind of a radio show interview, but I loved your story. We'll talk. 2 weeks later, I'm on the phone with Giuliano. 1 week later, I've scheduled an interview with him. And of course, Giuliano was one of the original sculptors of the 1964 Mustang. And the story that he told to the Las Vegas luncheon was a phenomenal story. And I said, my listener has to hear this story, because it's a story of overcoming challenges. Came over from Italy into Windsor, Canada, because guess what? The United States had immigration laws and he couldn't come here. Can you believe that the United States had immigration laws back in 1952? Oh, I think they're the same laws today, by the way. I just want you to know that. But he couldn't come over here and get himself a job. And he had to get a visa and he had to hire a lawyer. But when he comes over at 18, he gets tuberculosis of the bone and he's a body cast for a year. And so he was a carpenter. And how did he become a sculptor? How did he become a renowned sculptor? How did he actually get his job at Ford? And so he tells me the story. I did video and I did audio. And I just fell in love with Giuliano. We talked every month. Every month, he called, Carm, how you doing? And he's out signing Mustangs. He's traveling all over. The Mustang clubs are hiring him to come and tell his story of overcoming his challenges, and he wants to do a movie and all this stuff. So I kept in touch with Giuliano. And then I went to the ASA Cars event on the Connected Car. And Giuliano lives in Detroit, and I was in Detroit. And Bill, we hooked up. It was a really good time. A lot of podcast alumni. We were hanging out with Greg. You were there. There, right, with Scott and Steve, yeah. And we did a show from my hotel room. It was really cool. It was a great time. But when it was over, I went to Giuliano's house, and with plans to record my second interview with him. And Giuliano worked on the Chrysler Crossfire and with new technology over in Italy when Mercedes owned the company. And I wanted him to tell that story. But in the meantime, and this is the behind-the-scenes story that not many people know, is between Giuliano's first and Giuliano's second, he got glioblastoma. He got brain cancer. He calls me. I'm in Florida. I'm not feeling well. And, you know, I'm coming home. And then he calls me to tell me what's going on. And man, I tell you, I'm just crushed. This so full of life. And he celebrated his 85th birthday in July with this big event. And I didn't have a chance to go to that. He sent me all kinds of pictures. And the interview at his house took 3 hours because of how ill he was. And if now anybody goes back and listens to Giuliano's Crossfire episode, and you know how suffering he was with medications and chemo, now Giuliano died December 14th. So the rest of the story, I was called by the Motor Press Guild, and they said, we love what you do with your podcasts. Would you submit a podcast to be considered for Podcast of the Year from the Motor Press Guild? And I said, okay. And who do you think I thought of right away? The Mustang Man. And so I'm a finalist, and I'm going to L.A. to see on February 11th to see if when the envelope is opened, my name is on it. In honor of Giuliano.
Amazing. What a gift.
That's why we love you, because of that, because of the man behind the microphone that cares this much about the people that he's interviewing. That's why.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That is true.
Without a doubt. That's a beautiful story, you know? So congratulations on all of that. So, one of the things that's this curious, Carmen, you just laid out a great story. And all here and everyone here is a profession in our profession. Do you think that at one point your talents, your podcast, your show would be able to, transcend to the general public or maybe trade schools and have students listen, have the general public, maybe even our own client base, our customers, actually listen in to learn more about our profession and the people within it and how elevated we're trying to be in order to help them be better.
You know, Greg, it's a great question, and it's a good idea. I can answer it in multiple ways. Yes, I think in trade schools, there is no doubt that the young men and women that are seniors, juniors, 2-year school, 4-year school, doesn't matter. They're going to prepare themselves. They need to listen to some of the service professionals. They just need to contact me, and I'll tell them which ones to listen to help set them on straight. And frankly, here's the deal. If they're going to go work for somebody like you guys that I've interviewed, they need to get inside your minds. They need to go out and find the places that have the right cultures, you know, that have the training commitment, that have customer number one. And they almost need to develop that profile by having listened. I just recently joined the Erie Community College Advisory Board. I am so thrilled to be at that advisory panel since August. I am learning so much about post-secondary education. It's exciting and it's scary. And it's scary because of the challenges of funding that are necessary and the kind of equipment that is needed and the graduation rates. Oh, it's another part of me that's getting me juiced up as to what we can do as an industry to help education. And the best level of encouragement that I have for anybody and everybody is to get involved with schools. Should we ever do a podcast that would help your client base? Hey, you know, we're going to do some new and exciting and different things this year with the podcast. So you just never know where we can add something to the brand, Greg. I mean, I guess I'm always open for those ideas. But right now, I don't think it fits for the consumer.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, but I like where you're going with it. It's excellent. And I think a technical school and reaching, you know, our hopefully our younger generation and future talent, I think it would fit very well. Like you said, they need to see where we want to go and that we're not trying to create a static profession. We want growth underneath of that and to elevate everybody. So, yeah, good.
And, you know, I've got an educator series.
Mm-hmm.
At least they need to listen to that.
Absolutely.
Carm, you've won a lot of well-deserved accolades, awards recently, and in a very short period of time. How in the world are you going to sustain that kind of momentum and set the bar higher and higher and continue to do that? I mean, what's that like?
If it's a personal bar, not an industry bar. Well, maybe there is an industry bar already set, but I guess, Peter, is that I'm a tweaker and I listen with my eyes and ears. And so not only do I hear things, I also see things. And then I ask that question, why? And I try to remember that moment or that thought. And I try to turn that into, is there a bar that could be set higher? I mean, and I think I think as long as in life you don't stay stagnant, you may not see the bar move. It could go up a 16th of an inch. But I know I'm moving it somehow. I mean, there's a lot of things that when I look back to the pure quality of the interviews and the quality of digging down, I guess I'm my own worst critic, everyone, where I look at some of the early interviews and I'm saying, I could have done that better. You know, you could tell I was just starting out. But we all, Pete, you told me you had a toolbox when you first opened and that was it, right? And now today,
I got a little bit more than a toolbox. I got a 4,500 square foot toolbox.
That's very good. So, Pete, it's going to be a big challenge to continue it. But you know what? There'll be new heights. I think they're in the back of my mind. I think I know what I'm searching for. But I think having the mental thought and the vision is really, really important. But I'm also a person who doesn't share a lot of that stuff.
Remember, now you have an industry behind you too, right? So before it was you trying to come into the industry.
Yeah, you're right.
Now you've got a lot of us have bought into Carm Capriotto.
Yeah, you're right. The industry is behind. I mean, there isn't one of you out of the 300 so episodes. There isn't someone I couldn't pick up the phone or text or tweet, or email and say, hey, I need some advice or I need your help. And I know they'd be there. A great point. Thank you.
Well, Carm, one of the things is, As you start something, I think when you start, you just really don't know exactly where it's going. But because I remember, well, My dad started our business in 58. And in 2000, my husband, Jeff, and I, and our two partners built another building. And my dad was still able to be there and so on. And one of the things he said is this is my dream being carried to the next generation and gotten bigger. And someone said to him, but yeah, but your dream just got on steroids and it changed so drastically. So did the podcast go where you thought it would go, or how, you know, is this what you pictured what was going to happen?
No, Judy. An overwhelming dream that just continues to get better. I have to pinch myself every once in a while. I had no idea I'd be sitting here with, and I call all of you friends, and major leaders in the industry. I'm really personally overwhelmed with all the friends and all the wisdom that has been shared. No one had to tell me their story. No one had to tell it. But I guess I packaged it in a very respectful way. And I think when they looked back and listened to the final production, they said, I think I'm making a difference. I'm glad I did this. And so, yeah, I'm overwhelmed, yeah.
I think I have to agree with you. I mean, the fact that you have Fanslow and Nalu in your life, you should be pinching yourself every morning when you get up.
I worry that the phone's going to ring.
He pinches himself.
I'm worried the phone's going to ring, and it's going to be one of you.
Well, hey, now, come on now. We got our Saturday coffee chat, don't we?
Damn.
Yeah, he pinches himself for being so lucky to know Bill. He slaps himself because he invited me into his world.
You see Greg do his Facebook Live while he's out there walking on Saturday mornings?
Yeah.
Right after that, he calls me.
I just want the Eagles to win already so we can stop seeing the 12-1 and 13-1.
Oh, never.
14-1. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, Greg, I am so happy for you, but we're going to be happy it's over soon.
Absolutely. Gunning for the Eagles.
Eagles. E-A-G-L-E-S. I'm from Buffalo, so you know who I'm going to be rooting for, right?
Yeah.
Philadelphia, of course. Yeah.
Well, it's very obvious that it's easy to interview some of us on the panel because we share so often and much. Question for you, Carm, is what actually makes for a good interviewee? What I know, some of us were running from you. Some of us got sick the day before. But what actually makes it easy? What's a good quality that an interviewee should have?
I already said it.
Mm-hmm.
You remember what I said? It was passion. And when I find, you know, so what's your passion? So it's the icebreaker call. Hi, Kim. It's Carm. What's your passion? It's downhill from there. And that's what makes the great guest. And all I have to do is be able to package that, get that said. Now, I get it. Now, I have had the luxury of spending time with you, studying your company, looking at, you know, other questions that I could ask and how to frame and formulate and get this interview going in the right direction. And that's what makes a good interviewee, willingness to come on. But as soon as someone starts talking, if you say, Carm, you know, what do you do? I said, well, I'm an automotive aftermarket industry connector. And I'm a storyteller. Interesting. Tell me more. And then I'm going to sing and I'm going to tell you what my passion is. And it's going to be a great episode. I think you guys are doing that to me right now. And I don't even know it's happening to me.
He's on to us. Give it.
Learned it from you, Carl. So earlier you mentioned that nobody had to tell their story. Nobody had to come on Remarkable Results and say, here's my story, right? How many people have actually told you flat out, no way, I'm not going to do this?
None.
That's amazing.
What do you mean, Carm? What do you mean by none? There's a whole bunch of people that never replied to my 6 emails. And so you just... That's telling me no nicely. If there's somebody that I really want, I stay after them. And who was it? Oh, I just did an interview with the Ecklers, Lisa and Kevin Eckler out of Poughkeepsie, New York. And I was after them for a year. So I sent 2 or 3 emails. I track everything that I do, like in a CRM program. So I finally got, you know, it was 9 months later and I said, remember me? And they go, yeah, we so badly want to do this husband. I said, I want to do husband and wife interview. I haven't done one in a while. I got to have one. And we had a fabulous, just two nights ago. They're working hard. They got a great company and a great family and a good business. And we just had a hoot. I did a 45 minute interview. We were talking to each other for an hour and a half. It was so much fun. And so it took time to incubate that. So I didn't take them as a no, Peter. I took them as a maybe.
Maybe. Fair enough.
Yeah. Hey, Carm, you know what just occurred to me as you were saying that? Something interesting just popped into my head. When somebody's saying no, it's not like they're saying, no, I don't want to tell my story. They are telling their story. And they're telling a sad story about the fact that I have some secret sauce that I don't want to share with the rest of the industry because this somehow keeps me ahead of the pack. I think that theory has been thoroughly debunked in 300 episodes. There is no secret sauce that isn't going to become stale very quickly. This is a very, very perishable product. It's called technology moving at the speed of life.
Very good.
I'll just leave it at that.
Can I always count on Bill to slam dunk at home, huh?
Aha, number two.
Carm, when you found out that you earned the Mort Schwartz Excellent Education Award, what went through your mind? And then to get to interview Mort, what did that mean to you? I mean, that's first off, congratulations. I mean, you well deserve.
Well, thank you. I'm going to say something that I've never said to anybody. It was Dwayne who nominated me.
Good job, Dwayne.
Yeah.
And
I was just recognizing excellence. Well,
thank you. And when he told me about it, I said, really? And he said, yeah. And I think that was our conversation. And then when I won it, I was speechless. You know, when you get an honor, listen, I interviewed people on the podcast that won Mort Schwartz. I was in the industry my whole life. I admired the reason for, to me, it was that Academy Award thing in our industry as far as excellence in education. And it's an honor that I still, you know, can't get over. I'm so proud of it. Thank you, Dwayne, for having belief and faith and for all the people in the auto care industry that voted for this and bestow this honor on me. It's humbling, really, more than anything. And you know what it does? It makes you work harder. It's just plain and simple. Oh, my God. You know, Pete, you talked about the bar. Who is it that mentioned the bar? God almighty, Mort Schwartz set a bar. I got to figure out how to jump over. And so, right. You know, that's where I think about it, you know, all the time. And, you know, interviewing Mort, I interviewed Mort at Apex. And between you and me, Dwayne, I wasn't happy with the interview. I think it was one of the worst interviews I've ever done with a guy who I just won his award and who I respect immensely in the industry. I've never published it. And Mort and I are trying to work out a new recording date. And we're going to do it in the virtual studio. And Mort was worthy of a much better job that I needed to do. It was not what Mort said. It was what I did that made the interview unpublishable right now. It's still in the tank. And
were you intimidated?
I don't know. I think it was my first or second one at Apex. It was noisy and, you know, there were a lot of people around. And no, I don't think I was intimidated because Mort is just this genuine, great, nice grandfather. He hugged you guy. He's just super.
Greg, he was glowing. I walked up when he was talking to him and I got their picture together.
Oh, yeah.
And it was amazing. I mean, but he was, I don't know if smitten's the right word, but it definitely was an all moment for him.
And you know what? Mort hangs out almost on every Academy in the Zoom platform. Mort's almost always on every Friday hanging out. He wrote me a letter. He says, we're working on the recording date. He says, but don't worry, I'll be there Fridays, every Friday. And he's an icon of our industry. And that moves me into wanting to record more of our senior legacy people in the industry and develop a legacy series. And that, to me, that's another one of those really, you know, what's next? Legacy. Get those stories told that before we never hear them.
Well, that's one of the craziest things. I kind of look at you and I go, dude, man, do you ever settle down? You're really so busy and you got so much going on. You know, and then you started Town Hall. You had the podcast and you started Town Hall. Like, what kind of got you to that level to say, all right, I need something new. It's got to be fresh. I'm looking at a daily. And then to pick a Friday afternoon at 12 o'clock when, at least for myself, I mean, that's a busy part of my day. But you know what? I'm going to make time. I don't care if it's 15 minutes, an hour. I don't care. I'm going to jump in and get something out of this.
Let me answer that 12 o'clock Fridays. I just picked it. And I didn't know if it was a good or a bad time, because all I really cared about was just to get the audio recorded so that we could put it out as a podcast. And of course, repurpose the video. And so there's more people that listen to it, you know, in the commute as a podcast than they may, you know, view it. But the other beauty of no matter when you record, Greg, and you know this, you're an expert at this. You record a Facebook Live and it lives, you know. And so over the weekend, you know, we may have 400 or 500 views, and then we could get, you know, another 200 or 300 over the weekend. And then two or three days later, the guys are, you know, popping on it, you know, in their commute or, you know, while they're cutting the grass or exercising on the treadmill. But how did it's a very simple story of how Academy came about. So here I am interviewing great one-on-one interviews, a couple of roundtables here and there. And all these incredible topics kept coming up. You need to do a show on this and on that and on, you know, on car care clinics for women and you know, in revving up your culture and, you know, how to sell your shop. And I'm thinking, wow, well, that doesn't fit with my individual interview show. Oh, let's just do something new. I had nothing else. And so, yeah, of course, I put the third to show, and it's the hardest and longest to produce and schedule. But I have to tell you, I love the Academy. It is so much fun to do. It is, go back and listen to the 50. As of this recording, we're doing 52, number 52 tomorrow, what I learned when I sold my business. And I got three people on that sold their business in the last year. And when you think of the value that those topics can be in a forum called an academy, so, you know, I picked the house and the structure and the format, and I think we're knocking it out of the park, because, you know, I think that's what AMI contacted me about. We want to give AMI credit for your podcasts. Let's do the academies. Ooh, talk about another bar, guys. There's another bar.
It is. Have you found that to continue just a little bit here, have you found that it's increased your podcast downloads or your listens?
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding me?
Okay. What's fascinating is you can see that, at least from the progression of THA, I've seen a higher people joining in weekly. You know, I think one time you hit the 50-plus mark on a few of them, and this is from the Facebook side, and you're generating more and more interest from the Facebook feed. And I was curious to see, like I said, is that drawing more people to the actual podcast?
What do you mean 50 plus side? I don't understand what you mean.
Well, there's 50 people active.
Oh, active. Oh,
you know, visitor, you know,
okay. Yeah. Okay.
And it could be even more when you get your
stuff. Yeah. And yeah, we've had views up to maybe 1200 on one of them. And
okay. That's great.
It may have been the labor rates or the technician tool one. I can't remember which one it was, but yeah, it has, again, it's about the content library. I mean, we do this because we're building this incredible automotive aftermarket, you know, bank, if you will, book library of audio wisdom. And, you know, everybody says video is it. And every time I read an article, I you know, of course, from the podcasting realm, they say that audio will be stronger and better than ever because You don't have to be in front of a screen. Yeah, you could be on the treadmill and you can pop yourself and watch a video. Absolutely, but there's more opportunity for people to listen to audio. So, and by the way, they said audio may be in its golden years right now. It's just becoming it's reaching its own, and I think people are recognizing it.
So Carm, we're number 300. And I'm just going to tell you, I'm sure I speak on behalf of the others if we haven't said it. It's quite an honor to have been asked to participate. But 300 is huge, and you've had this tremendous speed of just growth. What have you found to be the biggest issue you've had to deal with this growth, this huge growth?
I think my friend Greg may have just broken the code there a few minutes ago, tempering my energy and my ideas. Frankly, if I'm looking for that moment in time that I could spend a lot of time here. I mean, under the brand, you'll see a lot more things going on that I know the industry needs to hear and to be part of and to listen to, and different catalogs. And I'm at this point where there's momentum, there's energy. And I need to relieve myself. It's like the business is there and I need to hire a service advisor in order to handle all the business.
All right. So this one question I had for you here, you basically pretty much answered another favorite personal story. You mentioned...
I do have another one.
Yeah, but hold on a second. Hang on. So you mentioned Leon and Giuliano. So I'm going to take that. So I have a surprise for you. I'm going off the reservation. This one's about work-life balance.
Okay.
I see you hanging out on Facebook at 6 a.m, 7 a.m, commenting about this at 10 p.m. and all this other stuff. You're a workaholic like I am. So my question to you is the saint that you live with, Saint Anne.
Yeah, Saint Anne.
So how do you keep her from running away? Because I got to beg Michelle to just give me another year, just give me another 6 months. I promise.
Yeah, I'm negotiating all the time.
Yeah. Mm.
She's a saint. That's all I can tell you. I mean, I know that Anne she respects what I do. She knows that I love what I do. She saw me in the corporate life. I worked as many hours, and I was always on an airplane, and I was driving 45 minutes one way if I was in the office just to go to work, and always in traffic. And so, you know, the office is at home, the studio is at home, and but sometimes I go crazy and I got to get out, you know. You guys know what that means. You just got to get out. But Anne has made my life so, all my life. I mean, just not as a podcaster. She's just always been there for me. And she is a saint to be able to put up with my immersion in the deep end of the pool.
God bless her for that.
And it's different when you are immersed. And it's something that you're passionate about. And you said that word passion, and there's that sparkle in your eye and that joy that you have. It's got to bring so much satisfaction to her. And then still, I mean, my husband and I have the honor of working together. So we're together 24/7. I love what I do. And when I don't love what I do, I see that he loves what he does. And so that brings us back together. So she's got to know that. I mean, she's a saint because she is obviously an amazing wife.
You're right, Kim. She allows me to do. I mean, it's rare. It's not this. It's not rare. But in my case, she just lets me be me. And, you know, and I'm still inventing who I am.
Right.
No, but Bill, I do want to, there's one more story about a real special episode, and I really want to share it with you. Eric Ziegler, mobile tech trainer. Eric was in episode, I'm telling you the reason for the episode 192, in case anyone needs to go out and listen to 192. Eric and I did a really great interview together, and he talked about philanthropy, and he talked about helping people. And so he tells the story about getting a phone call from a fellow technician and says, "Hey, Eric, you know anybody that may have a job in St. Louis?" Because he lost his job and he's looking for a connection. And he goes, "God, I don't know. Let me think about it." He goes, "Hey, what's up, man?" "Well, my daughter needs a heart transplant. And we lost our health care. I'm too proud to ask for any help." costs us $1,800 bucks a month for the healthcare. So Eric went out on a Skype group and raised $8,000 in 4 days. And he tells this story. It's a great story about the industry giving and paying forward. And he would talk about the value of the givingness from the technician world and shop owners. And out of the grace of God, she did not need a heart transplant. And there's the rest of the story. At Vision last year, this very tall man with a girl on his shoulders came into my studio. And it was this man and his daughter. And he came in to say, the girl's name, I can't remember what it was, but he said, Carm, I wanted to meet you.
Stormy.
Stormy, thank you. Thank you, Matt. I wanted to meet you because I want to tell you a story. When Eric episode released, Eric texted me and told me. He says, I got my smartphone, my headphones, I'm shopping with Stormy, and the part comes up about us. And he said, I started to cry. And he says, I just wanted you to meet Stormy. Ain't that cool?
What it's all about.
Yeah, I know. And that's another how the circle of life just, you know, closes in. So
you make me teary when I'm going to ask you a question. You've made me cry like twice already. we talked about family, Stormy. I mean, we all we have children. We have those around us, and we talked about how busy you are, and you know, it's amazing. I mean, we can't keep up with our business and technology and the stuff that we have. I mean, we have a very difficult time keeping up with our own technology. I'm not going to say you're a one-man show, but I've seen you at Apex. I've seen you at, so many different places and you're by yourself and you're hauling your equipment. How, number one, do you keep up with the technology? I learned about Zoom from you. And then how do you just do it? And I mean, you're by yourself.
You remember I described curious, you know, always want to learn, sit at the edge of your seat. There's so many things that come to you when you are, when you're like me. I may pick up the phone and call people that I know and says, hey, what are you struggling with? And there's a lot of information to get, but I'm also not afraid to go onto the helplines for some of these organizations. It took me a while to get Zoom working right. And I'm testing some other software, but you know, keeping up with tech, if it runs your business today, you have to keep up with it. You have no option. And if it's not you and you don't like it, you better hire somebody to do your tech, or to keep you on that edge, or to be in a 20 group and to be the person who says, so what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? And then go visit and look and learn, evaluate, implement, and learn. And so I guess I've always loved tech. Oh, by the way, I was heavy into software design, you know, years ago. I mean, in my evolution in the corporate world, I did a lot of very interesting things, and one of them was systems and processes and computers and stuff. So when I see these pieces of software that run these digital shops and stuff, I think they're marvelous. I just think they're so cool.
So, Carm, you know, sounds like this is part of the what you're talking about now is what's your vision for Remarkable Results, and what's episode 500 look like?
Cool. I am so glad you asked, because I've already drew that out. You know what I really think, everyone? I really think 500 is going to be about a daily video roundtable. And I think there's going to be so much going on, and there's going to be so many people. Did you ever see TWIT, This Week in Tech? Did you ever see that? It is a daily show. It's an amazing show. They talk about anything in tech, TWIT. That's my aspiration, to have guests from all over the world come on in a wonderful environment and setting and put out content. You know, and that may be my only job while I have other people doing, you know, the other interviews and stuff. I mean, I may have four or five different venues going at that time by the 500th.
So, Karma, we're in the business of having set goals and just an automotive, and as you are with your business, what is your ultimate goal of sharing this gospel, the gospel of the automotive industry? What are your goals? And then also, how far are you into that goal?
It's a great question, probably almost a little too personal right now, but that's okay, Kim. I give you a lot of credit for being a good interviewer and asking that. Some of these things that I have planned, yes, they're in planning and in discussion stages, but much too early to release and talk about. There's so much to tell still. You know, I mentioned just a few minutes ago I want to do this legacy series, but there's so much to tell. I want to do a think tank series. And in fact, I may be recording one next week with someone to just sit down and just say, so what are you thinking? Instead of me, you know, and just letting it flow and seeing what happens. But here's my juice, guys. Here's my juice. Testimonials. No one gives me any of those Apple reviews anymore. It's been 2 years before anyone's done that. I've never even asked anyone to do it. But I get all kinds of email. Here's one of them. I just wanted to drop a note to say thank you. I just found out about you from my coach. I haven't been able to stop listening, and I've been so encouraged by your podcast and all your terrific guests. I'm a 16-year shop owner, started in this industry about 30 years ago in pumping gas, made a ton of mistakes along the way, and many times have been ready to hang it up. But by the grace of God and with the help of good people along the way, I'm still here. Another one, thank you for putting on your great podcast. I really enjoy listening to them. I listen to your shows several times throughout the week because of your shows and the mention of a couple of books, The E-Myth and the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. I bought one last Saturday and finished it on Sunday. I got the leadership book last night and have been not able to put it down. And then Jerry Kubitsky, Carm, just got a call from Dara from CD Auto that he says he hates me. I told him about your podcast, and now he's addicted. Great addiction. I've not only learned so much, but you got me involved in the Breaks for Breast program. Pray that you win the award. I don't know. Maybe that was the MPG one. And then I've heard your podcasts. I've listened to, and it won't be the last. Excellent job. So those are the juice, if you will. If there's any fuel for my tank, it's those kinds of cards and letters that keep coming in.
Let me see if we can add something to that, Carm, because this is how I feel. And maybe some of you all feel the same, but you know that through social media, we've been bombarded with invites to certain groups. What I really enjoy about the Remarkable Results Facebook page is that I call it high end. It's high quality. And a lot of the answers that I would seek, I could see with when you guys bring it through the page or when we listen to one of your shows. So I think that overall, you save me time. And I can go right to a source that's full of high-end quality individuals that, you know, can answer my questions and give me insight, you know, 100% of the time. So I think that's an advantage that maybe a lot of people may not recognize. I see it, and I don't know what you guys think. I think it's just a great platform because you've brought these incredibly talented individuals, and not just from the automotive side, just flat out great people. I can't help to say it. You're here, dude. You're here. What you've got is here. And I like quality.
Yeah,
I like
thank quality. You. Thank you for that.
So, I mean, that's...
Listen, the quality is because of you all and everyone who's paid it forward on the podcast. And it's because, I guess, I've been discerning and trying to make sure that the messages are right. And you know, we highly edit what we do. And it's not to take out content, it's to make the flow work, the engagement work. So when people stop and listen, it's almost like they're listening to music.
Kind of related to that, there's 227,000 auto repair shops in, you know, North America, right? So over a million technicians out there. How in the world do you decide who is going to be a good interviewee? What criteria are you looking for to pick a good interviewee?
I'm really looking to the network that we've already created to recommend. I have over 100, you know, prospects that I've talked to at many different levels. At this current writing, there's a dozen podcasts in the can ready to be released, 6-7 weeks worth. It's amazing, Peter, when someone says, yes, I'll do it. it's the connection. It's the answer. It's the it's what you want. You know, because I never tell somebody, yes, we're going to do this. This is, so you want to do it? And they say, yeah, I want to do it. You pause for a week. You know, you schedule out, and you know what happens? Like him, they go over it in their head. Oh my God, I can't sleep. And then I get him in the virtual studio, and I say, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. And once I get that person speaking their passion and they get comfortable, I say, it's been 42 minutes. And they go, no.
I could see it in your eyes that that yes, when they say yes, is part of the juice for you. I could see it when you're just talking about it now, that that's definitely part of the juice
but
for you.
But my job still is, if they say yes, I've got to be able to get them at their best.
Sure.
Trust me, guys. You're on for the hunt. For anything that you do, that's mine. Mine is, I got to get into this studio. I got to get in the mind frame. I have an hour of just nothing but almost zenning into what we're going to do here. And I think that's the difference. I think that 60 Minutes meets NPR quality that you're talking about, Greg. I think it's because I've never, ever taken one interview for granted that it was just going to happen. And I just, all I did to do was show up. No. I don't just show up. I'm in it.
And it shows.
And it shows. I was going to say, the same as the acting, it shows.
Yeah, it shows.
Greg talked earlier about this, you know, the high level of your Facebook and such. But I want to just touch on the fact that being an alumni has just raised, I mean, it's an absolute honor. And I don't know that that word is the right word, because I don't think it's high enough. It's a level of what it should be, but it is an absolute honor. And I feel like what it's done is, I think I post on Facebook within my smart group, just my smart group alone, there is, I think, five or six of us that are alumni. And it builds this camaraderie, this family, this group that is bar none, you know. And I'm very humble, but to be some of the best in the industry, or the, you know, and maybe if not the best, aspiring to be the best, it's a step up to learn. And, you know, it's an absolute honor to be part of this. And I don't know that, I hope that that's not taken lightly. So if anybody hears this, and if you're asked, you become a very a member of a very elite group, and I would be nodding your head yes.
Yeah. That's great stuff, Kim. And I feel obligated to point out that there are two Delawareans on this call right now.
That's right. Pete, thank you very much. I was thinking the same thing. You know, our small state, we do conquer the world, right? Yeah. Right. Make that clear.
I got to do a much better job of vetting out my interviewees.
Small state, big egos, right?
That's right.
Man, oh man.
Blue heads all the way, baby. and Scrapple.
Oh, yeah. And thank you for that, Kim. It's very humbling to hear you say that. And it's again, it's not about me. It's about the group as a whole and the value that they all have brought. I mean, there's one common bond. They've told their story. They've shared their story. And it doesn't matter if they were a business coach, an educator, if they were a legacy industry person, there's a common bond. And the bond is that you cared enough to tell your story, so that someone can learn something from it.
And I feel like that has made us friends. That's taken us to a friend level, because it's intimate and it's so appreciated.
So, Carm, my last question was about, you know, what else can you tell us about 17? But I'm gonna go off the reservation one more time. And it's interesting how when you're in a space, a really precious space, Kim's second last word was intimate. And that's what's been in my head for the last 5 minutes. It's intimacy, and intimacy not in the cultural way that we, when we hear, you know, president, you know, were you intimate with these, you know, we always think that it's got to be the physical part of it, right?
Right.
And Conversations with God talks about intimacy, about being into me see. And if there's one thing that I've benefited from this episode, was that we sort of got to put you on the spot and got to see your view of this, having been through all of them, having what is the common thread that goes through all of them. And you are the intimidator, You know, you're the one that brings that intimacy and invites the safety into that conversation. Starting, and I think that's the mark of any great interview. Forget about interviewer, but every interview has to have a level of trust and intimacy. Without that, I don't know what you have.
It's very difficult to say anything about whatever Bill says because, you know, he's deep. It's deep. And I've had some wine. But thank you so much for your kind words. I think of gritty. I think of honesty. I think of transparency. When the people that have come on to pay it up. So maybe I'm a person who brings people together, but it's not about me. It's really about every piece of work. All 300 episodes are not about me. If you look at the audio waveform for all these interviews, right? I talk 8% of the time by trying to ask a question. Every once in a while, I may go get it opinionated on something. But you know, it's really about you. And it's a great quote. I got to read this to you from James Walcott from Vanity Fair magazine. It's about podcasting. And he says, when the guests are compelling and the conversation cover the complete drum kit, the hands of the clock disappear and I feel I've experienced a second-hand human experience. I think that's what you just said, Bill.
Again, the culture makes nakedness somehow bad. But when it comes to relationship building, you can't get there without really stripping people down and getting there. And I mean, that's why you can bring tears to our eyes with some of this stuff, some of these real stories, people being able to feel safe enough to tell you the story.
Yeah, I know. And trust me, I keep saying to myself, why was I this lucky to hear this, to get it told, to be able to share it and bring it to the world. And that's what makes me pinch myself every once in a while. And you get down to this real pure human side, human element. So, that's what makes it all worthwhile. And I'm on the hunt for that. And I've got a great one coming up, that we haven't even done, but it's a great story of struggle that I think is going to help people. When people are willing to tell that kind of gritty story, They know it's cathartic to them, and they also know that it's going to help people. And really, I think that's what we're doing in the pure essence of it. I mean, you know, listen to learn one thing. Your learning curve never sounded so good. These really cool cliches that I've created, but they all have strong strength and meaning, exactly what they mean. You want to learn something? Go listen to the podcast. You want to learn just one thing and implement it? Damn it, implement it. Get out there. Hold yourself accountable for it. Just implement it. Oof. Well, look at Peter Rudloff, Bill Nalu, Dwayne Meyer, Kim Auenheimer, Judy Zimmerman-Walter, Greg Buckley, and my technician buddy, Matt Fonslow. Thanks for being here, man. Appreciate you celebrating the 300th with me.
An honor to be here.
Definitely our pleasure.
Have a good night, guys.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Thanks for bringing the wine.
Next
with the 400th, we're going to do this in person. All microphones and everything. We're going to have video cameras in a studio somewhere.
Yeah. Are we all heading to Buffalo?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, we should
shuffle off to Buffalo.
Oh, good. Yeah. I'd love to have you up.
Can you all tell how big this glass is?
It's nice.
The size of my face.
Yeah. Oh, that's you know, I love those big... Those big Bordeaux glasses, man, they are the best, aren't they?
If Greg had that, he wouldn't ran out.
It made me look
exactly right.
Dang, that glass is big.
Yeah.
I learned just one thing tonight.
Hey, I want to thank you for giving this episode your attention. You've made it to the end of a long, long listen. Was it entertaining? Did you learn something you didn't know before? Do you feel a stronger kinship to our cause and purpose? Hey, don't hesitate to reach out and let me know your feelings on the 300th, and for that matter, any and all episodes we produce for you. Email me, carm@remarkableresults.biz. And also, share the love on social media. Now go and share this episode with someone who can value my story.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time...